It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Hey, welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter three, which means it's time for your questions, his answers. It's Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce rubs and 409 Tailgate Wine Needs. Do yourself a favor. Visit 409tailgateclub.com. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. Don't forget, the listener Dean with the number one question this week, they'll receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You get some sauces and rubs. Okay, Ross, we got another week with a boatload of them. Are you ready?
I live for this. Let's do it.
All right, Todd from Williamsport. He says, fellow Tiger, do you think Penn State would be sitting at 8-0 if Tommy Stevens did not transfer?
That's a good question.
It is a good question.
And I like the fact that he went to Princeton, evidently, but still roots for Penn State. That's okay. Hopefully he roots for Princeton as well. They're undefeated, for those of you who didn't know.
Because he did say we, yes.
I don't think they would be. No, I don't think that they would be. I think that they would have lost one of these games. I don't know if it's Pitt or Iowa. Based on what I've seen from Tommy at Mississippi State, the health issues and the inconsistency, I think, would have cost him in a game. I think he probably would have gotten hurt in one of the games and or would have been inconsistent enough that they would have lost. So I think they'd probably be 7-1 if Tommy was the quarterback. And that's interesting because I would have told you before the year Penn State would be better off this year with Stevens than Clifford, but I'm not sure that's the case anymore. If Tommy Stevens transferring might end up being a blessing in disguise. I thought it would hurt them a little bit this year, but really help in 20 and 21. I think it's going to help in all 3 years.
They would have Michigan would beat them too.
Yeah,
the way that Sean missed some throws in that game, but he made some great throws early in that game to get them up 21-0.
I think the sort of the overall difference was that you knew what Tommy was going to be, but Clifford's ceiling, even though you would probably sacrifice something a little maybe early, the ceiling was going to be a lot higher. All right, let's keep moving on. Mike in Lake Winola, Pennsylvania asks Ross, I know you watch a lot of football and a lot of college football, so I'm going to ask you a good bye week question. Which conference is playing better football right now, the ACC or the AAC? Thanks and keep up the great work.
It's the AAC.
The
AAC is a better conference than the ACC right now, which is insane.
That's insane.
Clemson skews things because Clemson's like a semi-pro team down there, you know, and they're awesome. But if you look, if you remove Clemson, which is hard to do, or even if you take Clemson and who do they play? SMU or Cincinnati? Okay, let's say Clemson wins that one. I'm taking the second AAC team over the second ACC team. I'm taking the third AAC team over the third ACC team. UCF, I saw UCF against East Carolina. UCF has dudes. UCF is good. And I know they lost to Pitt by 1 point. I'm telling you, if UCF and Pitt play 10 times on a neutral site, UCF wins 7 or 8 of those. So the AAC is a better conference, which should never, ever happen. That should never happen.
Pretty good question. I know it's the bye week. Not a Penn State question. I think you got to DQ them.
Oh, from the it's not.
I would recommend a DQ there.
They're not gonna win. That's for sure.
Sorry, Mike. You're not gonna win. All right, let's keep moving on. This is from James in Mechanicsburg. Ross, there's probably a really good chance that we're already halfway through Micah Parsons' career at Penn State. Do you think Penn State made the right call moving him to linebacker first? And what is your analysis of him now as a pro prospect?
I do think that they're better off with him at linebacker because of Etor Gross-Matos and Shaka Toney and now Jason Awe.
Right.
They need a difference-making guy at the second level. And it allows him to get involved in more stuff. At the next level, he's interesting because he's a really good player, but still does not have great, I wouldn't say he's got great awareness or instincts yet. He definitely does not have great fundamentals. And coverage is not necessarily his strength. So those are three pretty decent knocks against him. My guess is it'll time out perfectly to the point where he gets significantly better in all three areas by next year, his third year ever playing linebacker.
Right.
He played on the ball at CD and at Harrisburg. This Correct. Is his first time ever playing linebacker. I think he's hopefully learned a lot from Jan Johnson. And I think next year, because Jan and Cam are gone, right?
Correct. Jan's fifth year and Cam's a fourth year
senior. So I think Micah's going to really step up next year and be that leader and check off those other boxes that they'll be looking at. My sense would be his physical ability is a first, second round pick, but his playing right now, if he left pro after this year, I think he'd probably be more like a third or a fourth round pick. I think that there will be enough hype and he'll play himself into being a day one or day two pick. Really hard to be a first round pick as an off the ball linebacker that doesn't
right.
rush the quarterback. So unless you're like Devin Bush or Devin White, I think they were the only two guys that went in the first round as off the ball linebackers who are outstanding in coverage, right? And tremendous football players. He's probably a day two guy. It's a good question though. Where's that one from?
That one was from Mechanicsburg.
Okay. So Williamsport and Mechanicsburg, both pretty good so far. I'm pleased.
You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce rubs and 409 tailgate wine needs. Visit 409tailgateclub.com. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white and drink blue and light. All right, we're plowing on. The quarter number three, we had a ton of your questions this week. Ross has given the answers to some of them. This is from Caleb in Olean, O-L-E-A-N, New York. He says, I'm going to make an Andy.
Do you know where that is?
No.
That's upstate.
Western New York, that's where St. Bonaventure is.
Ah, got it. Is that heading towards Buffalo?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to make an Andy-esque prediction and say that Penn State does not lose this week. Okay, I'll take that.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
Uh-oh.
No. What were your thoughts about not pulling Sean Clifford at the end of the game up 21 points in the pouring rain with his awkward sliding ability right now? Thanks. Love the show.
I think in general, Franklin probably keeps the guys in longer than I would. Maybe a series each time. I'm a little surprised. You know what, though? There's always those stories. The Falcons lost the Super Bowl. They were up 28-3. I just think Franklin does not want to take any chances. It's too important. But I probably would have sprinkled in some more backups. I probably would have gotten like Mennett out of the game and Clifford out of the game. You don't have to go all second string guys, but basically the guys that really are hard to replace, I would have probably removed. By the way, we didn't talk about this. Brian Lewerke officially got worse for the third year in a row.
Yes.
I have never seen anything like it. If I were Lewerke's parents, I would sue Mark D'Antonio for lack of support or something. He was a pro prospect a couple years ago. He literally, I think if he left after his red shirt sophomore year, I think he might have been drafted or at least would have gotten into a camp. Now, I'm not sure he even gets signed. He has got, I think he's a smart kid, they said maybe, pre-med or something. Good, because you're going to have to use it. It's unbelievable. Like, there's no more damning thing I can think of than that. Now, I know Trace wasn't as good last year, but he was beat up and they had drops and stuff. Lewerke's legitimately gotten worse three years in a row.
I know the weather was bad, but did you see the wobbly ducks that he throws? And I know it's the sad. Weather was bad.
And why did they take him out? Put two other quarterbacks in and then put them back in.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before either.
That's why they're all in the transfer portal out there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them in and out there. All right, this one comes from Andrew in Elmer. He says, Ross, okay, this will be eliminated, but still a good question. If Michigan played Wisconsin this Saturday in a neutral field, who would win? It's not going to win, but I still think it's a good question.
Sure.
It's Michigan, a bye week.
Wisconsin?
Michigan, Wisconsin on a neutral field, who wins?
I got it. I mean, I know people would say Michigan. And I understand that. And I predicted that they would beat Notre Dame. I did that here, right?
Yes, you did.
I predicted they would beat Notre Dame. I knew it was going to happen. I guess you'd say Michigan, but that's really hard to do when Wisconsin just destroyed them the way they did.
Yeah. Greg and Camp Hill.
You're really into asking non Penn State questions.
Well, there's like seven of the.
You have like 40 questions in front of you, and you're I mean, if we're gonna ask me about why missing Berks Catholic game, if we're gonna not talk about Penn State. Why missing 23, Berks Catholic, nothing.
They have to play Middletown. Greg in Camp Hill asks, hi, Ross. How closely did you watch Jason Oway and whether he is becoming more disruptive or just as disruptive at the starters? His first step speed and ability to bend around the tackle, it's starting to stick out. I'd really like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, in this game, he was more disruptive. So I think you'd say this game more. I don't think you really need to compare them to each other as much as be able to rotate all three, keep them fresh. That is what, how many years have we said on the show, especially D-tackle,
right?
But even D-end, that is what the Clemson, Alabama, Ohio States have. They just keep coming. They just keep rolling in these guys that are NFL caliber defensive linemen. Penn State has three defensive ends now that will play in the NFL.
I think Isaac's getting good very slowly too. Next year, he's going to be a problem.
I love it.
All right, this one's from Brad in Dearborn, Michigan. He says, I'd love that I could get my Keystone Sports Network fixed anytime on the app, even in enemy territory. Is there something James Franklin can do or should be doing to help keep Ricky Ronnie from getting into a bit of a play-calling rut? It seems like the offense has lacked the guts to call off-schedule plays against better competition, which has added to some of our offensive troubles through eight games. I'd like your thoughts, sir. Thanks.
So a couple weeks ago, we were criticizing them for not running it more, right?
Correct.
All right. So now we're criticizing them for not being imaginative enough.
The fan base that's sending us questions. Yes.
Okay. So what I would say about this is what happens is anytime the offense isn't firing on all cylinders, no matter what they call, people will criticize the play caller and say it's his fault. Maybe it's, at that point, the execution of the players. Maybe after what happened, was it the Michigan game or the Iowa game where they didn't really run it out?
They didn't really, well.
They ran four minutes against Iowa.
They ran 4 minutes against Iowa and they had KJ run it out against Michigan.
There was
Michigan.
One that I felt like they could have.
It was Pittsburgh.
Pitt.
They were played in the game.
They gave Pitt the ball back and had to goal line stand.
Yeah, but I mean even just not take enough time off the clock. No, it was Michigan State. It was this game. Late in the game.
Yeah, they kept throwing the ball.
They kept throwing the ball.
They kept throwing the ball.
Yeah, I thought that was terrible. You risk guys getting injured? I thought that's a good question. Who's that from?
That one was from Dearborn Heights, Michigan, Brad.
No, take Williamsport for the first question, but that's a good question.
All right, that'll do it. For Ask Ross, stick around. We're going to finish strong. Quarter number four coming up.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh, yeah. And more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.